Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Hear the word of God. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray and ask God to bless His Word to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this portion of Your inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. Oh Lord, we pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You would help us to understand the things that are taught here, that You would apply them to our hearts and lives for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been away from the book of Galatians over the last couple of weeks, last week being Christmas, and the week before that, me being on vacation has kept us away from our study of the book of Galatians for a little bit. We're returning to that as we begin a new year. One of the things that we need to realize about a new year is that the basics are unchanged. The most important things, the most important truths do not change year by year. When the calendar turns, there are things we try to change. We make our New Year's resolutions, and we know how hard it is to change some of those things. But the basics and the basic truths do not change. And Paul is very much concerned in the book of Galatians about very important basic truths. It's all about true Christianity and true salvation. This book is about, and of course it's a letter, this letter to the church at Galatia is about salvation. And the one way of salvation, which Paul stresses again and again, is only through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And so, in this letter to the church at Galatia, he's dealing with a problem that ultimately is a perennial problem. But in the specifics of it, it's not one we see much at all now. So I want to just set that context as we move into this particular part of Paul's letter. The particular issue that is dealt with in the book of Galatians is that the church at Galatia had people who had come down. They were Jews with a Jewish background. They were Jews who claimed to be Christian converts. They had come to Galatia, and they came after Paul had established the church there, and they came with a message that said basically this: you're Christians, that's great. We're glad that Paul preached to you about Jesus Christ. You see, their message went on, you see, God blessed the Jews and is using the Jewish people to bring other people, Gentiles even, to himself, and is using the Jewish religion in its fulfillment with Jesus Christ to do that, to bring salvation to the world. God has really blessed the Jews, His covenant people, and basically the way you have salvation in Jesus Christ, these people were saying, these Jewish Christians were saying, is that we trust in Jesus Christ as a fulfillment of God's promise to the Jews, and we adopt the Jewish religion. The Old Testament prescribed how people entered the Jewish religion. It was by circumcision of all of the male members of the family. And so these people, and Paul calls them they're called in other places Judaizers, who are trying to turn Christianity into a form of Jewish religion. These Jewish Judaizers were saying, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to have this sign of entering into the covenant people. And so they were beginning to do this. And Paul hears about it. And Paul basically says, no, no, you're doing the wrong thing. You're getting it all wrong. He says it pretty strong, doesn't he? Back in chapter 1, what does he say in verses 6 through 9? Just look at that, just to remind yourself. He says, I marvel that you were turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You're turning away from God to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, in other words. But there are some who trouble you, these are the Judaizers, and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, that's what they're doing. And then he says this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. In chapter 3, still dealing with this issue, he says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Verse 3, are you so foolish? So he's saying this is a big deal, but it's circumcision. And so you might say almost even, what's the relevance of this book to us? We don't become Jews when we become Christians. We don't get circumcised. We get baptized. So where's the relevance to us? Paul's concern is not primarily about circumcision. Paul's concern is basically this. It's about two different religious systems, and only one of them saves you. Please understand, this book, as much as it has to say about circumcision, is not about circumcision. It is about the only true religious system that offers real salvation from a real hell and the condemnation of a real God over against false religion of any sort. But particularly, Paul is concerned to contrast the true Christianity against any perverted Christianity that really partakes of the nature of this opposite religious system. Paul is concerned because people sit in Christian churches in mixed company, so to speak, where some hold to the religious system of the Bible that we call Christianity, and others calling their religion Christianity hold to this other religious system. And so the two different religious systems are the law on the one side and faith on the other. Now, in previous weeks, we've looked at this. Paul has already been stating his position. So what we're looking at today is what he has to say primarily in verses 10 through 14 of chapter 3. And I want to look at what it's saying first about the law as a religious system, but in particular, the law as it was understood by the Jews in their misappropriation of the Bible, the Old Testament's teaching about religious system. Now, so I need to go back and just refresh you a little bit about verses 6 through 9. Here is what the Old Testament taught about the way of salvation. I'll just start in the middle of a sentence in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's a quotation from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. That was the religious system of the Old Testament. It is a matter of faith in God. And so that was the way Abraham was saved. Now understand the context we're looking at. It matters what the Jewish religion really was, because what Paul is saying is these people that are saying you've got to become Jews don't understand the Jewish system either. Okay? So he says, here's the system of religion that God revealed in the Old Testament. It's the same one in the New Testament, but here it is. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So Jews that have a religious system that is not rooted and grounded in faith are not really holding the Bible's Jewish religious system. And they aren't really sons of Abraham, and they aren't really in the covenant. And verse 8, and the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Okay, Jews by faith, like Abraham. Gentiles justified, accepted, counted righteous by God through faith. The Scripture, Old Testament Scriptures is what it's talking about, because that's the only Bible they had when Paul wrote this. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. If you want to have the blessings of the covenant God made with Abraham, then you're going to have it the way that God told Abraham people would have it. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, faith and law. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, what does this have to do with circumcision? Because circumcision is one of the works of the law. The law prescribes circumcision. Circumcision was a part of the covenant. And these Jews are saying, you have to have this too to have salvation. Where does that come from? It comes from the law. And so, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Not under salvation, under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I want to emphasize some things that are in here. The absoluteness, everyone. The danger, cursed. Which everyone who does not continue in, again, the extensiveness, all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You want to get on a track of keeping the law starting with circumcision? Fine. You have to do all of the things in the law. Continue to do all of the things in the book of the law. Not one. It doesn't stop with circumcision. If you get on that track, it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't have to be circumcision. It can be any other rule. It can be the rules of the Bible, or it can be the rules that man makes up as to the things that we have to do. If you get on that road and that path, that is a different religious system from the one under which Abraham and many Jews found salvation, or the one under which New Testament Christians find salvation. Two different religious systems. It doesn't matter where you start with the rules. If that's going to be your way to get to heaven, any part of your way to get to heaven, you have to keep all of them. All of the rules? That's what it says. Now, the Bible elsewhere, and this is a different kind of thing, we actually looked at a related subject last Sunday night. Even the rules that aren't the Bible's rules, if you think they're the rules, if your conscience bound to not do certain things, then you're obligated to keep those rules too, even though God doesn't obligate anybody to keep them. Because if you think that you're not supposed to do it, that it's wrong to do it, then what are you doing? You're basically rebelling against what you think God requires. And so that too, of course, is clearly sin. But Paul writes about that, actually quoting from the Old Testament. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You do them all. You keep on doing them without fail. Otherwise, cursed is everyone. And so he doesn't just say, so some of you are likely cursed. He says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why? Because we all fall short of the rules. We all fall short of the rules. Is there a rule that you can keep that makes up for not keeping other rules? No. You see, that's a religious system. It's one that's built into our nature. In a sense, I think we can call it the moral order of the universe. God punishes sin, but if someone doesn't sin, then there's no punishment for them. There's no condemnation for them. That's the way the universe is made. That's what's behind the whole concept of law, even from the beginning, even before we had the law given under Moses, but even in the garden, if you keep the law, there's no punishment. If you keep all of God's rules, but you have to keep all of them. Adam and Eve didn't. You and I haven't. Those in Galatia did not. The Jews had not. But if you adopt that religious system, if you say, well, I'm going to be good enough to go to heaven, then how good do you have to be? All of the things which are written in the book of the law, do them, continue to do them. Otherwise, you're under God's curse. Now, in our day, that concept of being under God's curse is almost something that just, you know, goes over people's heads. They miss that entirely. They can't buy into that. Why? Well, they're not sure there is a God, but they are sure that if there were a God, God wouldn't curse pretty good people just on the basis of breaking some of God's laws. They're sure of that. So this idea of as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, the idea that God would curse anyone is just simply, well, among other things, it's not politically correct. But you see, that is one religious system. Paul's talked about it earlier. We've talked about it earlier. But to see it again here, verses 11 and 12. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. And then he gives us two Bible passages from the Old Testament to make his argument. For, and here's the first one from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. And Paul quotes that in Romans as well. The just shall live by faith. Yet, the law is not of faith, he says. But, and now he quotes the other passage, the man who does them shall live by them. That's Leviticus 18:5. Now, I want you to see where the difference is in these two Old Testament quotations. There are two ways to live. Now live, look at the second one in verse 12. And in the context, if you want to look it up, in Leviticus 18:5, it's particularly clear. The man who does the law, the works of the law, shall live by them. Not mean live by the law as his manner of life, but basically the idea as shall have life that way. If you want to have life by the works of the law, do the works of the law, and you'll have life. But you have to do all of them, because cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So that's one religious system. The man who does them, the works of the law, shall live by them. That's how he has life. The contrast from Habakkuk 2:4 in verse at the end of verse 11, the just, which is equivalent in this particular passage to the justified, shall live or shall have life. Again, it's not talking about manner of life, but the way to have life, shall live by faith. Please understand, two entirely different approaches to religion. Faith or works of the law. You can supposedly have life by either of them, at least theoretically, in terms even of the justice of God. If your approach to having life is by keeping the law, fine. Keep all of it, all the time. We need to ask at this point, to what extent are we trusting in some one thing or some group of things that we successfully do as our way to get to heaven, or as part of our way to get to heaven. You see, if it's part of your way, then that's your religious system. It's keeping rules. You can make believing in Jesus just another rule, rather than the kind of faith in Christ that the Bible really is talking about. You can make it a rule, so that your belief system is Jesus plus the good things I do will get me to heaven. That's a false faith. And we get so comfortable with how we live. When we review at the end of the year, as I trust many of us do, how well we've done this last year at living in a way that's pleasing to God. You know, we give ourselves extra credit for certain things here to make up for the ones we missed. We tend to think, it wasn't all I wanted it to be, but I did okay this year. I'm sure God will accept that. That's one religious system. What does God accept? Well, my best efforts, what I've done. The other religion is Christianity, and it's what does God accept? What Christ has done. And our faith, meaning what we lean on, our faith is Christ and what He's done. What we believe in is not us and what we've done, but Christ and what He's done. The justified, the only ones that are justified and thus just in God's sight, have life by or through faith. Now please, it's not a contentless faith. It's not simply confidence. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ and what He has done. And so I want us to look at that part of this passage. You've got this one religious system. Obeying God. Doing good enough. Everybody that attempts that system from whatever angle, from whatever else that might be added in, even Jesus Christ added in, everybody that takes that as their approach to religion, to satisfying God, doing a good job, ends up cursed by God. Everybody. And so the contrast is this other religious system. It is a system of faith in Christ, where our belief about our salvation is not we believe that we're doing good enough or close to good enough and Jesus will help us over the hump, but we believe that Jesus did it all, so faith, and then of course Jesus, Christ. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. That's the problem. Everybody's under that problem. Before Paul went to Galatia, their problem was the curse of the law. They had disobeyed God. They didn't know everything they needed to know about God, but they knew enough to not do the things that they did, but they did them anyway. They were under that curse. Paul came, preached the gospel, then these Judaizers come and say, well, you need to believe in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised. And if it's that or anything else, you've got to, you can go back in history. Some of you lived when, you know, if you danced, you can go to heaven. You know, or certain circles, if you drink alcoholic beverages, you don't go to heaven. There are all sorts of rules that men make up there are rules in the Bible that people can absolutize, like circumcision, but like so many other things. If you goof here, you don't go to heaven. But if you put even one of those things up there, you've adopted that other system, doing the right things, doing the right things. And Paul says, no, this Christian system is faith, faith in Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is not a curse for those who trust in Christ, for those who have faith in Christ, for those who believe in Christ. But it's a curse for those who believe in their best efforts. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then look, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The idea there is that Christ, hanging on the cross, was a substitute for us. That He paid the penalty, He took the curse that we deserve. We deserve, whether we're religious people or not religious people. The Galatians were maybe not religious people before Paul came. After the Judaizers came, they were religious people, but they were trusting in things that they do. But Jesus takes, for those who have faith in Him, not in themselves, not in the things they do, He takes the curse that they've already earned for the things that they didn't do that they were supposed to, or that they did that they were not supposed to. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And now, Paul can go back in verse 14. He did that. Christ did that so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. You want the blessings of the Old Testament and of the Jews? You don't get it keeping the law. Not circumcision or any other part of it. If God had a special people, and He did, if Christians can be incorporated into that, then they receive the blessing of Abraham through Christ, not through law. Through Christ, not through becoming a Jew somehow. But through Christ and what Christ has done and believing in Him. And not in ourselves, not in themselves. The blessing of Abraham. Abraham had everlasting life. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When the Jews went into the promised land, or before they went in, they were divided into this is right after they cross over. They're divided into two groups, two sets of tribes. They were named for us in the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And one half of them are on Mount Gerizim. And the other half are put on Mount Ebal. And those from Mount Ebal pronounce the curses that we read earlier in our Old Testament reading for this morning, from Deuteronomy 27. And the last one of those is what Paul had quoted in verse 10. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul's quotation is not a direct quote, but it's from that passage. You list all of those bad things. And cursed is everyone. And all the people said amen. And then this summary, if you don't keep them all, cursed. And they all said amen. But it wasn't about keeping them all. It wasn't a religion of keeping them all. Even for the Jews that came in, it was and we're going to be seeing Paul make this argument in the next week or two. But it was about recognizing that religious system that is about works leaves everybody under the curse. And so it is so important to have this biblical Christian religious system where it all depends on Christ rather than it depending on me and Jesus. Jesus and me, we can get through this. No. Jesus alone. Christ paid the penalty. Once you stop accepting that Christ paid the full penalty, once you start thinking that there's something you need to do for your salvation, then it's not Christ alone. The only biblical religious system is Christ alone by faith alone, not Christ plus me. Christ alone. And then you have all the blessings of Abraham, the blessing of being the justified who have life by faith. And then at the end of verse 14, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That too belongs to Christians. The promise of the Holy Spirit, and therefore the Holy Spirit Himself, is ours in a religious system of faith. The Holy Spirit is the one, as Paul is going to be saying, particularly over in chapter 5, who enables us to keep the law. Why do we need to keep the law? Because if we are those who trust in Christ, we are going to be those who love God. If we are those who love God, we want to please Him. Not in order for me to get into heaven do I want to please God, but I want to please God because He's taking me to heaven through Jesus. And so I want to please Him, not because I have to, not because it's how I get to heaven, but because it's a fruit of what God does in my heart and life by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives me an ability to keep that law that I could not have in any other way. It's only through Christ and what He's done. He redeemed us so that we could have the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit through faith. Is your Christianity the Christianity of faith in Christ alone? There are other Christianities. I mean, you can have a Christianity where, it gets spring and it's time to keep Lent. You've got to do this. Very similar ritual in some ways to circumcision. Similar approach. Here are these things that I do. Here's how I... You know, whichever way you take it, this is a way to make up and atone for my sins, or this is a sacrifice that I make that kind of helps my religious standing with God. And you could just go down the list of things that people do. Now, I want to go back to one other thing. In contrast to verse 11, where it quotes, "The just shall live by faith," verse 12 talks about the law in terms of the man who does them. It's a matter of doing. Back in verse 10, in the quotation from Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." One religious system is a religious system of doing. The other religious system is a system of believing. Those are just simply two different things. They are two different things. Doing and believing are two different things. Now, it's not just a general believing. It's believing in Christ and what He's done. It's believing what the Bible teaches about Him. But understand, once you get on the track of doing, You've got to do it all. You can't miss anything. The pressure's on. Are believing. And the one man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Your faith is not even going, you know, it's not a matter of believing good enough. It's believing true enough. Believing Christ. Believing Him and what He's done as your only way and hope of salvation and not doing. Don't get on the doing track. Some of you are on the doing track. I don't know who. Some of you are on the doing track, and that's your religion. Jesus plus what I can do. So I'm not saying we're not supposed to do. Paul will talk about that later. But not having any confidence in what I do. The religious system of Christianity is not about what we do. It's about what Christ did. And we believe that, not us. We're starting a new year. If you've never been straight on that before, I urge you this year to have only that religion that trusts only in Christ and what Christ has done. Because if we're even a little bit honest with ourselves, we know that in terms of doing, we just really haven't quite cut it. We've not quite done all that we should. And we never will. Christ. Christ alone. Faith alone. Faith is hard. It's a gift, and in one sense it's not hard, but in another sense it is. Because faith is about those things we don't see. Doing is something I can see. Doing is something I can recognize when I've done it. Faith is about something Christ did a long time ago and I can't see it. It's about trusting in God in heaven and I can't see Him. It's about trusting that Jesus was resurrected and lives and I can't see Him now. He's gone. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. I'm not saying so much that it's hard to believe, but it is so easy to stop thinking about those things. It's hard to walk by faith, not by sight. Once we start walking by sight, we start looking at things that we do. And so we need God's help in walking by faith, not just to do the walk and to do the living part by faith, but in order to continue to have a faith that is in Christ alone rather than getting distracted by the things that we do. We're supposed to do the right things, but it doesn't save us. Depending on it curses us. Trust in Christ alone. Ask God to give you faith. You know the way we have faith and continue to have faith is to continue to come to God for it. It's the first of the year. Last year, some of you were here, you know, every once in a while, when you kind of needed to be here. You may be trusted in coming to church enough, but isn't that trusting in doing? Rather, when you come, and I encourage you to come Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, be involved in other ways in the life of the church, and be regularly on your own studying the Bible and praying. When we do those are the things that keep us seeing the truth of Jesus Christ. I need to be here. If I wasn't preaching, I would still be here somewhere, generally twice on Sunday. You need it too. You need it too because we live, we walk by faith and faith alone and Christ alone, and without the regular contact with God by His Spirit, joined together with His people in public worship and with God in private worship, without that contact with Him, we lose sight of Christ. We begin to lose faith in Christ alone and start focusing on doing. And it shifts us to a different religious track, and it's not a track we want to be on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this new year, help us to be committed to trusting, believing in Christ alone. Not believing in ourselves. We live in a world that tells us to believe in yourself. Help us to know the truth about ourselves, that left to ourselves, we sin against you. Help us to see that you are a real God in a real, objectively real, spiritual realm where your Son also dwells. After in history in this world, He died on the cross for our sins. Help us to believe in Him and not in ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.